In this episode, you'll discover 10 simple ideas to create rapid and radical progress in your marriage, no matter how bad things seem today. So welcome in, Heroic Husbands, to the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is your one podcast for learning everything you need to know to become the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. So what's in it for you if you hang around to the end of this episode? Well, the three specific benefits you'll gain by listening to the end of this episode are: number one, you'll have a super simple yet comprehensive playbook to start winning in marriage today. Number two, you'll learn the highest leverage ideas all my private clients use to create massive transformation in a matter of weeks. And number three, you'll feel a rocket boost of hope knowing that you have the power to change your marriage for the better from today. Let's jump in here. It's one of those super special episodes where I open up like a fire hydrant and go, hey, just catch these ideas. Catch what you can. There's going to be 10 super powerful yet ultra simple ideas, mindsets, strategic changes, things that you can apply from today. You know, if you apply all 10, wonderful. The highest probability is what I'd challenge every single one of you listening in is to get really active here and pay attention and find two of them. Two, maximum three, that you're going to go, those two or three ideas, they really resonate. That's really practical. That really locks home. And lock your awareness in on those two or three ideas and get to work. It's day one always, get back to practice. Get back to the practice of it, or kick off the practice of implementing them in your own way. Number one, the first simple idea to create rapid and radical progress in your marriage, no matter how bad things seem today. The idea of praise her in every way, every day. I want you guys in this movement to again and again get the idea. Masculine grows through truth and challenge. Feminine grows through praise and appreciation. And praise and appreciation, we won't go into the technical distinctions between them. They're quite similar. But praise her in every way, every day. The feminine core of your queen, it grows through praise. So if you want her to grow into her happiest, easiest to get along with self, who is actually receptive to surrendering into your presence, well, one of the simplest, easiest ways is strategically challenging your nervous system to focus on all the different things you can praise her on. And the smaller, the better. If it's something that she does every single day of her life with you, it's an even more wonderful gift that you all of a sudden praise her for that thing that she's doing 24/7, that so regularly, probably for years, if not decades, with some of you has been taken for granted. It just, you might have praised it, or you might have lit up in the beginning when she did that little thing for you, but now it's just same shit, different day. Praise her in every way, every day. You cannot overdo this. I strategically, it's just become a part, like a part of my beingness in marriage with my queen, and I extend it to my kids as well. It's one of the simplest and most potent things you can do as the masculine pole, the masculine leader of your married life, of your fortress, is praise her in every way, every day. Set that as your cultural mindset, and then you will have a nest of praise. And man, the feminine just thrives in such a space. Number two, no more BS. In Heroic Husbands, we call BS, it's blame, shame. And yeah, of course, BS, bullshit. I mean, blame, shame is bullshit. Blame, shame is bullshit in intimate relating. Now, is this an easy thing to do? Well, it's not. It's easy to state. Is it simple to implement? Probably not. Yet, it's impossible to eliminate blame and shame when you have no intentionality behind it. This is like a way of life. When my marriage breakdown, breakthrough moment, if you've been listening into the podcast, I've spoken to it multiple times in other episodes, but you may not have heard it. you know, about 6 years ago at this point, my marriage breakdown breakthrough moment happened. Invited a guy into her family home for 2-3 weeks. My queen, after years of feeling an absolute desert, like I had unwittingly completely starved her of the nourishment of meeting her feminine needs in any meaningful way, of feeling seen, heard, and safe to just be herself and express herself. So she was starving. Dude comes in, I invited him. Man, I set it up for it to be easy for any guy. So she fell, her nervous system was intoxicated by all of a sudden having another guy seeing her, hearing her, wanting to know more and making her feel like really safe to express it. I made it easy for him. But part of my response, you know, when that happened and I realized, wow, Mark, if you don't take your head out of your ass and actually wake up, I got up that morning and I had that thought in my head where, Mark, you've got to step into kingship here. An atypical thought to have. I've read so much about archetype, you know, masculine archetypes, king, warrior, magician, lover. They're regular terms in my mind now. Yet at the time, that was atypical. But what that meant on a very practical basis, guys, was when I walked down the stairs and I said to my queen, it was like she was at the breakfast table. The guy was still in her house. Man, it was a shit show. It was like really, my marriage was, it felt like it was 99.99% gone. And I did not know. It was pure, raw necessity that got me to show up. And I knew, it's like, Mark, you're like at the bottom of the, you're at the bottom of the mountain here. And that mountain is the biggest mountain. Like Mount Everest is just not comparably big enough to give the magnitude of it. But it's like, you've got to get to work here. One of my biggest concepts, guys, that I brought to my queen in that king and queen walk. And we've had those king and queen walks for many, many years, for 6 years now on a pretty much daily basis. One of the core things that I established that day, and I have established it as a way of life, I said to my queen, it's like, baby, wherever our marriage is now, what has happened between yourself and this guy, and it actually doesn't matter. It's like, I can tell you now, I am eradicating blaming you forevermore. It's like, it does not work. I am taking morality out of this, right and wrong. So I'm not going to blame you. Clearly, things have unfolded in a way. I clearly have not been meeting your needs. It's like, all I can say, baby, is I'll figure out a way to meet those needs. But I'm going to stop blaming you. The second part of that, which is essential, is I also said to her, it's like, I'm not going to blame myself. And that's shame. I am not going to beat myself up anymore, baby. Because in beating myself up, I couldn't cope with the shame. So what did I do to protect? I started blaming you. So it's like, I'm not blaming you. I'm not shaming myself. I'm here to claim radical ownership for what I am able to implement, to change. And it's like, that's what I'll do. Guys, that has changed my entire, not just my marriage, my parenting, my life, my finances, the podcast, this whole movement is based on that principle. So eradicate blaming your queen and shaming yourself. Recommit to that again and again and again. Have I done it to perfection? No, but it's a guiding principle. It's this high principle that I'm like, that's what I strive to embody. Zero blame, zero shame. Number three, make your space safe. It leads on from no blame, no shame. Because the masculine role is very much indicated by creating a container for the intimate relating to happen in. And it needs to be a safe container. And make your space safe. The acronym we use in the movement is SAFE, is secure, authentic, full expression. So a safe space is a secure, authentic, full expression space. With the principle of zero blame. You don't attack her. You don't criticize her. You don't do any default. Oh, like if she has a different perspective, you allow the different perspective. It's impossible to be in marriage with any human without having tons of moments when, in that moment, there seems to be a radical difference in opinions, in perspectives on a certain topic, and so much unnecessary disconnection, conflict. And I would say all these divorces and separations, the vast majority are unnecessary. And what they've been caused by is people try to, like, couples getting unwittingly into right versus wrong. The righteous high. It's like it's going to be one of the points down the page. It's like your greatest enemy. But it's like getting into this righteous high and like trying to stomp out the other person's perspective to push forward that your truth has the priority, is more true than the other person. It's so ruinous. So make your space safe, a secure, authentic, full expression space. The key thing here is shut the fuck up and listen. But not listen as internally you're judging every single thing she's saying and you're just, you know, your mouth might be shut, but your head is 24/7 spinning with what you're going to retort with when she finally stops speaking. No, I'm really talking about listen. It's Ausonius. He who cannot be quiet cannot speak. And being quiet is not just having your mouth shut. It's having your mind open, that you're truly listening to find a connection to like what's truly going on. And when your queen feels fully listened to, the initial irrational, could be jabby, oft times can be hurtful what she's saying, but you just keep listening and listening. And when she feels the sincerity of your listening, that you're truly wanting to know what her perspective is without this trigger happy, but I'm just waiting and I'm not even going to let you finish. And if I do let you finish, I'm just going to unleash this fire hydrant of my righteousness, my perspective. It's like, no, I am listening with every fiber of my being because I love you. I want to connect with you and my love can transcend any bullshit in my own head. Make your space safe. Number four is romantic gestures. Keep your queen's sexual waters hot. The masculine sexual center is like fire. Quick start. You can start up the fire pretty quick. This is not necessarily like a big generalization. I tend to have a slow start feminine cord relating with my queen and within my own body, but it's a general sort of a guideline. It definitely will have like quite a substantial importance for the vast majority of queens out there, where the masculine cord being in sexual relating, it's quick start. You can go from, you've been in the wars in business, around life, doing different things, and hey, if you get like 5 minutes of whatever sort of stimulation, it can actually be the job done and dusted. Do you know what I mean? Like it. So there can be that element for us with our physiology, neurophysiology, psychology, conditioning from society, everything that comes together. It's more a quick start sexual response center, where our queens have a water element, essence to their sexual center. You know, when you think of the hot water in your house, I mean, if you set up the system for, you know, providing hot water for your bathroom, your baths, showers, kitchen, etc., the most energy efficient way is to keep the water hot throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the year. Because it takes a lot of energy to heat all of that mass of water up to the temperature that you want it at, that it's ready at any given moment. Whereas if you heat the water up in your water storage tank, you spend all the money and all the time it takes to slowly heat that mass of water up. And then once it gets to that ideal temperature, you just let it slowly cool down, cool down, cool down again. Well, number one, once it cools down to the base temperature of the environment, it's going to be a really slow process to heat it back up to wanting to have a shower. So the ideal is that's how water goes. It's not like a fire. A couple of matches, you've got a fire blazing within, you know, within seconds if you've got dry enough material. No, heating water up takes quite a bit of time. And that is the core center of your queen's sexual ways of relating with you, with her body, with life. This really changed things for me. I was having a real struggle and I was relating with her sexually through my own locked in masculine experience of sex. Sort of going, oh, why don't you just start up? You know, it's like, when I realized this, romantic gestures became a really important thing. And I know it now, guys. When I implement them, things flow really easily. And hey, I get caught with work and there's an intake happening, or I'm doing changes around the house and I get distracted. It happens. I'll know. I'm like, oh, Mark, you know, things are drying down. It's not so hot and passionate in the bedroom. I will look at the week leading up to that and go, ah, romantic gestures. Like, you fell off the horse. Get the fuck back on there. And they're super simple things. Super quickly, like morning love notes, super high leverage. Appreciation notes, gifts, super simple things. There's so many apps and things out there. Super simple, funny, quirky gifts throughout the day. Let your queen know you're thinking of her. Voice messages. Express that love. Voice message, personalized to her that she can, you know, listen to it at work, wherever. Like, it's this spontaneous lighting up of her life. That's a stupendously incredible romantic thing. Surprise gifts, if gifts are a love language for her, man, bring out the poetry, bring out the song, the songwriting skills, incredible stuff. Massages, you can get the oils, massage her, or do a simple massage off her shoulders, neck, you know, when she comes in from work, you know, 2-3 minutes, guys. It just does not take a lot of time. Return celebrations. When your queen returns home from work or from a trip away, like, celebrate her arrival home. And when you come in home, in that meeting, celebrate the return home like it's you're a warrior returning from war. Incredibly high leverage stuff. Number 5. This is of massive, massive importance, is know what you want. It's essential to know what you want. Myself, for years, and my God, like, I think the vast majority of guys I end up working with, is one of the toughest questions guys find in answering in an application call or initial stages of coaching is, what do you want in married life? There's tumbleweed. It's like, you know, the old west, the tumbleweed just blows by and they don't really know. It's like, what do you not want? And there'll be a list of complaints. Oh, she's giving out to me all the time and she doesn't want to have sex with me and she's always giving me grief about, you know, how I relate with my family of origin and blah, 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 blah. Guys will have a trigger-happy awareness and access in their nervous system to the big list of things they don't want. But what do you want? It's the simplest question in the whole arsenal of questions I will ask guys, and it's the one question that 95, 96, 97, 98% of guys just go blank. They've lost connection with what they truly want. And it's not just in married life, it's in life. What do you want, man? What do you desire? You know, it's like what we say in the movement is, in the darkest of moments, his vision lights the way. Great masculine leadership is you hold the vision near and dear. You feed and nourish and tend to the flame of the vision. And you tend to it and build it up to have, like, that vision is unstoppable. One super simple daily practice of this is daily, preferably in the morning, it gets you primed for the day. One page of your journal, at least one page. Sometimes I'll go 2-3 pages, but regular, every morning, just one page. What's that future? Where am I going? Where's my family going? Where are my girls going? Where's my business going? Where's our sex life going? Where do I want my business going? Where do I want a podcast going? And I keep imbuing and embracing that and feeding that and nourishing 100 trillion nerve cells in my nervous system what that beautiful vision is. Thus, I am stable when my queen has major self-doubt, when she has major moments of can be despair, sadness, hey, irritation, whatever. It's like she has fierce feminine feedback for me. I am a mountain in any storm because my entire nervous system is being trained on a daily basis to go, you know exactly where you're going, Mark. And thus, I know exactly where my queen and myself are going. I will tell her, it's like, baby, I totally get where you're at. It gives me the capacity to fully meet her where she's at, whilst also, you know, by the end of a conversation, I never try to fix her. Sometimes I'll remind, hey, baby, this is one more stepping stone towards, you know, financial security. This is one more stepping stone towards us being like location independent from having 8 horses. We're really close, baby. You know, let's just dig deep. We've got this. We've achieved so many things. We've manifested so many things that seem so impossible at the time. This is just one more challenge, baby. We've got this. We've got this. We're on the way. And my queen, her nervous system can surrender into that. And oftentimes she'll say, oh, you know, Mark, sorry for bothering you. Sorry for putting this on your shoulders. You have enough on with X, Y, and Z of what you're doing. It's like, baby, hey, this is my honor. It's like I'm the masculine leader in this beautiful marriage. It's my honor to be the vision holder for this family, for us as a couple. That's my great honor. I love doing that every morning. So I encourage you guys, know what you want. Journal very regularly, preferably on a daily basis, what that vision is of what you want, and line your nervous system up behind manifesting it. Number 6. God, I'm having fun here with you guys. This is like really cool stuff. Number 6, know your greatest enemy. I'm not going to go into the full neurophysiological breakdown of how and why our nervous systems have been conditioned to believe, subconsciously at least, that our greatest enemy in marriage is our wife. Our greatest enemy as men is an unsatisfied woman. But we have been conditioned to believe subconsciously that we have an enemy in our woman. And this enemy is out to get us. They're out to never believe that we're enough as men, etc., etc., etc. So this is really to bring your awareness to, as a masculine being, taking it on your own shoulders. There's 100% responsibility your side. There's a 100% responsibility the side of your queen. The heroic husband approach is you radically cut, you ruthlessly hack your queen's 100% off the table, off your awareness. You can't directly influence that, so you leave that to her. You inspire her to take radical ownership. You don't require her to take radical ownership. And how you inspire her to take radical ownership is you get to fucking work placing your awareness on your 100%. Now, your greatest enemy is not your queen, ever. Your greatest enemy in life, in marriage, in parenting, in work, in your spiritual journey, is the righteous high. The righteous high is when there's highly energized blame thoughts in your nervous system. You're out to get, oh, it's like, I can't believe she did that, and oh, she's doing it again. She's such a fucking B and C, and there's all the flowery, horrible names that our nervous system will project internally, and as well internally or externally, it doesn't make a difference, but you want to keep that internally and then digest it and alchemize it into something beautiful. But I definitely have unwittingly you know, looking back, many, many, many times I allowed the fire hydrant of aggressiveness come out, because in that righteous high, my nervous system felt, well, you've disrespected me and I've held my tongue 10 times, 20 times, and now finally I feel justified to unleash from my righteous high. I've dopamine, I have serotonin, I've all this chemical mixture. I feel so powerful because why? I'm right and you're wrong. And you're so wrong. My neurochemical mix makes me feel more and more powerful the more I fuel this blame. And that's why I unleash on you and I say horrible things that in 20 minutes, 2 hours, 2 days, I'm going to savagely regret saying. I'm going to savagely regret doing. I'm going to feel like an absolute piece of dirt that one more time I've been that asshole. So your greatest enemy to creating a beautiful life, guys, is the righteous high. And you will know you're in the righteous high when you have energized blame thoughts, because that means your nervous system is in full danger assumption mode. It's primitive reptilian brain activity. Your amygdala thalamus has recognized a pattern, and it has. But that pattern could have like a 1% similarity to some major emotional experience your nervous system experienced growing up. And thus there's a conditioned response in your nervous system that if there's this 1% similarity in your current day lived experience, an amygdala thalamus goes, dude, this seems similar to something you went through before, and it gushes your nervous system with these fear chemicals. Well, now your entire nervous system has this danger response system explosion. So your entire nervous system is out to focus and perceive danger and eliminate danger. And who's the poor unfortunate soul that's holding space for all of this? Your queen. The righteous high. There's no man that I have ever met that when I describe it like this and we go into the details of it, there's not one man that goes, Mark, I don't know what you're talking about. Every man knows what I'm talking about. That's why we truth bomb, truth curious own. We truth bomb our queens, the righteous high. We're pushing our agenda. We're truth bombing. We're pushing. We're arguing against whore. We're arguing for our perspective. And thus we're making whore inherently feel she's wrong. And then at some point we get a bit curious. 5-10 minutes into the argument, we're like, she might have a bit of a point. Or it could be after the conversation where our righteous high neurochemical explosion has dampened down a little bit, and then her nervous system goes, you know, she might have had a little bit of a point. And then the ownership part can happen the next day, where you're just eaten alive with remorse, going, I've fucked up again. So the righteous high, within Heroic Husbands, we go, instead of truth, curious own, with own, curious truth. You own the righteous high. You own, you breathe through it, you settle your nervous system back, you get back to self-regulated inner world, and then you get curious, and then and only then do you start expressing what your perspective is. Really powerful, guys. Absolutely essential. Get to know who your greatest enemy is, and know who you're fighting. You're fighting for your queen. And your great fight is to settle and subdue and stick fucking duct tape on the righteous eye, that part of you that wants to blurt out blame. Getting on to number 7. Major stuff happening here. This is epic. Number 7 is embrace her feedback or let her find a real man. This is one that has pissed off a lot of guys. Oh, let her find a real man and the righteous high. Hey, point number 6. Your greatest enemy goes and it starts tussling with, oh, well, who the fuck are you? Like what? To call her a real man? I mean, I am a real man. And there's all of this righteous high, temperamental teenage part of you that just starts getting gnarly and defensive, and then the foolish philosopher part of you goes, well, I'm just going to go in a philosophical dance, and I'm going to project judgment on Mark, and I'm going to say that, hey, there's enough, you know, I've heard a lot of different responses to this. There's enough stuff out there in toxic masculinity. You're just projecting more of this toxic masculinity, you know, defining what a real man is and blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to say it straight, guys. The real man in you, the infinite, powerful, godly being in you, that your queen is here and is energetically wanting to initiate into your fullest manifestation of embodied power, that part of you gets what a real man is and doesn't waste 1 second of his precious awareness. You create your whole life from where you place your awareness in your mind and where you place your awareness in your environment. The king part of you, the maturing man part of you, that we call it in the movement, that maturing man goes, when I'm embodying being a real man, I'm embracing your fucking feedback. End of story. Period. That's it. If you notice that there's a resistance coming up and there's a part of you getting like argumentative or feeling defensive or feeling upset or feeling, it's the part of you that's taking that statement personal. And that part of you that takes such statements personal is the part that your queen finds unsexy as fuck. It's the rationalized high that just starts a big philosophical argument but doesn't get the core point of it. You live that out, embrace her feedback or let her find a real man. The whole point is it's a provocative challenge to you to go drop your spiritual balls and embrace her feedback. And when you drop your spiritual balls and for 3, 6, 12 months, I'm 6 years embracing my queen's feedback, there's not one nerve, not there isn't one neuron in my nervous system gets upset with, oh, real man or this. I think there's a lot of guys bullshitting about the distinction, whatever. But my awareness couldn't be bothered going into an argument about it. What I know as a fact is when my queen looks at me, she perceives me as a real man. She trusts me as a real man. Now, me 6 years ago, the most untrustworthy, unsexy motherfucker on the planet. The me of today, I embrace her feedback. So I leave the whole Instagram world of young, uninitiated men to argue real men and let's have a big argument. And as they're having the big fucking argument on Instagram and they're arguing with each other in men's circles and they're going to conferences and hey, they're having that big argument, I'm being a man that my queen trusts. And I'm learning that more and more. And I do it by embracing my queen's feedback. The men that I've coached, the men in the Heroic Husbands community that do this, that truly embrace the feedback, their queens get to perceive what a real man is being about, what real masculine practice is being about. So what real trustworthiness embodied is about. It's a fucking sublime experience for them to experience it as our queens. And I tell you guys, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautifully empowering experience to know when I embrace her feedback, I feel so in my power that I can take any feedback and every single bit of her feedback, I get stronger, I get better, I make progress. Every bit of that feedback. She can hit me with feedback that would have knocked me on my ass 6 years ago. She can hit me with the most sublimely, fiercely direct, intensely landed feedback. And I will get stronger. And she knows that. I love that process. Number 8. There's one of two modes you can be in marriage, and I would say in life. Let's focus on marriage. Mind training or marriage complaining. There's a very simple thing in masculine practice. Your mind creates, where your awareness goes in your mind, creates everything in your inner world experience, and life is an inside out job. It's what you're perceiving on the inside. Only from what you perceive on the inside do you manifest on the outside. So It's through mind training that you can consciously perceive the most empowering interpretation of the situation that's unfolding outside of you and, of course, inside of you. And from there, you can make a conscious decision of, well, what is my response going to be? You cannot sharpen that capacity inside of your lived experience as a man, as a husband, as a dad, as a human being, without some specific structured element of mind training. Training of your nervous system to perceive in different, more empowering ways. It's essential. So there's mind training or marriage complaining. I know that my marriage, my capacity to, you know, this, there's this foundational point that I bring again and again, that you cannot escape from your rationalized righteousness, the righteous high, that will argue and that will fucking blame and shame and shift responsibility until you die an unhappy, disconnected, fucking, like, you're going to look back on your life. The regrets of the dying in hospices around the world, all of their regrets is what they didn't do. So the righteous high can complain about marriage, complain about marriage, complain about marriage. It can get divorced and just hold the same complaining story about, oh, that bitch when she did and she never and she blamed me, but like she was never. And like, divorced men, you can keep that shit. You can keep that vibration. And like, well, that's just raw unhappiness. It's such a catastrophically, tragically low standard of human experience. Mind training or marriage complaining. I know in the last 6 years, since I have dedicated it as a way of life, in my daily way of life, where I'm studying about the mind, I'm doing specific exercises, I'm meditating, I'm doing breath work, it's all mind training. I do self-reflective, you know, just I do daily reviews, weekly reviews, I get coaching, etc., to support me build a sharper awareness of where my awareness is going in my mind. Mind training to be able to catch, oh, that's a blame thought, Mark. That's bullshit. Don't follow that. There's shame thoughts. Don't go. Come back from there, Mark. And then training my default. One of my foundational mind training points is, Mark, what are you not taking radical ownership of here? And when I do that, in business and money and parenting, conflict in marriage, sex life isn't going good, I'm having a fucking argument with my dog, it isn't doing what I'm wanting it to do on a walk, it doesn't matter. When I ask that question, and that has taken training, my default is, Mark, life is seeming hard at the moment in this one topic, in this one area of life. Okay, shut the fuck up and bring your awareness to that one question. What are you not taking radical ownership of? And guys, I'll shut up. And funny enough, my intuition will have the answer that I need to hear. And I don't particularly need coaching for it. And I don't, in those moments, very often, I don't need my queen's feedback. In those moments, my own nervous system has the answer. It's true mind training. Mind training of picking up the righteous high, mind training of picking up all of these parts, temperamental teenager, beaten boy, foolish philosopher, I have them all in bucket loads, but mind training allows me to pick it up. The guys I coach one-on-one, the guys in Heroic Husbands training and community platform, that's the game. It's mind training. You bring your nervous system into these experiences, into the community, into the training, etc., and your mind gets sharper. Your awareness gets sharper where it's going in the mind, and thus you take conscious control back over your three manifestational tools and knife. Your thinking and your talking, you're taking action. It's a no-brainer. Your mind training or marriage complaining. Clearly, mind training is accessible in Heroic Husbands, the training and community platform. By the way, just to let you know, and I'll remind you at the end of this, there's a new intake. And in this episode, if you get into the podcast notes, you can click to have immediate access. So you can feel that screw it, let's do it impulse, and you join today. It's there, it's available for you. If you're not mind training, you're marriage complaining. Point number 9. Going really good here, guys. This is amazing stuff. I just love empowering you guys. This is all the things that, yeah, it works with my clients. It works with guys in Heroic Husbands training and community platform. But this is the shit that transformed my entire marriage, my entire inner world. And this is transforming my whole life, to be honest. Point number 9. Chicken soup served cold always tastes like piss. You can get all these strategies. You can bring on new mindsets. You can speak in different ways. You can do romantic gestures. You can apply all of these ideas. But if you apply them from a certain perspective, like the beaten boy part or the temperamental teenager part or the foolish philosopher part, there can be this subconscious part that just really doesn't go all in. And how that is manifested every single time without exception is it doesn't bring the emotion to the application. It's like, Mark, but I listened. But it's like, there's a listening that's flat, that's uninterested. It's like, yeah, well, I shut the fuck up. I did what you're saying and I really listened. But it's like, if your whole energy is flat, it's tired, you're not fully there. Well, it doesn't matter how much you listen. She's going to feel the lack of your energy. So it's like the chicken soup served cold always tastes like piss. Like you can have the best ingredients in the world, the best organic chicken, the best organic whatever stock and seasoning and filtered fucking mountain from the Colorado mountains water. And it doesn't matter. Chicken soup served cold always tastes like piss. If you don't emotionalize, add emotion, energy in motion. Emotion is energy in motion. And you can go, oh, but I just don't feel the love for her anymore. Oh, I just don't feel enthusiasm. And that's like one of the great cop-out, like one of the great excuse escape doors that guys make. I just don't feel the love anymore. I just don't feel inspired for it. Do you know, like, can you imagine the likes of Michael Jordan turning to Phil Jackson, Scottie Pippen, and, you know, like 5 minutes to go and just going, guys, I just don't feel it. Can you imagine like a Jocko Willink, ex-Navy SEAL commander, halfway through a brutal battle in Iraq and just going, you know what, guys, I'm just not feeling it. Can you imagine all of these guys that fictional masculine leaders, real life masculine leaders, can you imagine? Do you think that Michael Jordan, do you think that Navy SEALs, do you think that kick-ass CEOs, do you think that they show up and they always feel in the mood to bring their best? No fucking way. They generate the emotion. They generate the enthusiasm. You're feeling tired? Well, generate enthusiasm. Generate energy. Intentionally dig deep and go, hey, I'm tired. It's been a tough day, tough week, but I'm going to bring my best love. I'm going to bring my best enthusiasm. I'm going to dig deep. I'm going to bring that epic shit. You always have access to that energy. And how do you know? Because you don't bring it to your queen, you don't bring it to your kids when you're at home, but by fuck, your queen sees you when your neighbor down the road calls over to the door and you've been a donkey's ass to whore for the last 2 hours. But then your neighbor, who you don't even think is such a cool guy, he comes to the door and he goes, hey, Tim, hey, Mick, hey, can I borrow your whatever the fuck? Oh, yeah, man, come on in. Hold on. How you been, man? And how's the wife? How's the kids? And all of a sudden you have like this whole orchestra of enthusiasm, of passion, of humor. Oh man, in you come, yeah, of course you can get that. Like, oh, you, like, blah, 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 blah. And then Tim, Mike, neighbor next door, leaves, and you're back to flat energy. This is why I say chicken soup served cold always tastes like piss. You've got to generate emotion. And it's not to go into a whole big talk about the profoundly sick society, the inherent trauma that we have experienced in where emotional suppression was what happened. I get it. It happened to me. It happened to all of us individually and collectively as a generation and generations of men. However, it's on you. You're not responsible for the environment you grew up in, which conditioned your nervous system the way it has been conditioned. But you are entirely responsible, able to respond now, today, moment to moment to moment, to go, well, I'm going to pluck out optimism. I'm going to pluck out courage. I'm going to pluck out the emotional charge that will serve this moment. If I'm not feeling a lot of love, I'm going to dig deep and I'm just going to bring love. Guys, you do state shifting, you go for a jog, you do some push-ups, you have a cold shower, you do some breath work. You just do whatever is necessary to access the emotional state that will light up your queen. So if you're going to serve anything to your queen, if you're going to serve chicken soup to your queen, heat the fucking chicken soup up. Heat it up. If you're going to say, if you're going to speak with your queen, bring your full energy like you would the best client that just arrived in. You're having a shitty morning. You know, you're having a shitty morning at the office. Things aren't going good, but your best client comes in. Do you access the energy for them? You fucking bet your bottom dollar you do. Your neighbor coming over to borrow tools, you access the energy for him. You access the energy for guys in your club. You access the energy for anybody else, but you don't do it for your queen. That, let's call bullshit on that as a generation of men. This is the beautiful queen. 99% of the cases, she's brought your kids into the world. Whether she's brought your kids into the world or not, she's your divine queen. She's your goddess. If she was dead in the morning, don't howl fucking grief and sob and cry to the world because you loved her that much. If today you're not digging deep to access the emotionality that she fucking deserves from you today, that's on you. That is masculine practice. Be like Michael Jordan, be like the commanders and the great leaders, that it doesn't matter their mood. They will dig from their identity as a great leader. They will find it from the depths of their spiritual power inside. You have that access. Bit longer on that one. It's a super powerful point. Number 10, bring this into landing. This changed everything for me. Boys lone wolf, kings have king's councils. I was lone wolfing for years, guys. Was I doing super cool intentional stuff? I was. I was listening to David Ayeda, The Way of the Superior Man, and I was planting seeds. And did that stand by me in my marriage transformation? Yeah. But the thing that transformed my entire life is when I found men's work. When I got into a community of guys that could see me, they could hear what I was going on with, they could make me feel safe, my human experience, and they challenged me. And from the outside, I had support. I had blind spots everywhere called BS, blame, shame, blind spots, and bullshit. My bullshit, my blind spots, and my blame, shame patterns, I had powerful, loving men. Men that were doing the work, had more experience in me in doing this type of work. They go, hey, Mark, I want to call you forward there and that, man. Like, you're talking about your queen like this, or you're talking about your money like that, and you're talking about your kids like that. But hey, man, there's unhealthy doses of victimhood in that. Like, where's your power in this? What can you do in this situation? Stop telling us about what these other people, what life isn't giving you. What can you bring? What are you not bringing? That transformed everything, guys. It transformed everything. Boys, lone wolf. We have been conditioned by, in this profoundly sick society, that leaning in and getting vulnerable with other men, it's the only thing that results in that is social humiliation. So I place my hand on my heart. I get why your nervous system shies away from reaching out. Shies away, goes, I'd rather, there's a part like, you know, statistically, 90% of humans that end their own life, they're men. We'd rather die than reach out for support. It's a fucking tragedy, guys. I've tears to the back of my eyes because I've been there multiple times. When taking my own life seemed like a more rational option than reaching out and going, hey, world, I'm struggling here. I need a bit of help. I need a bit of support. Can you help me out here? We're all there as a generation of men, but we've got to, as a generation of men, wake up and go, boys, lone wolf. That's a hurting boy perspective. You were hurt when you were 5, when you're 6, when you're 7. But hey, you're now in your mid, late 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. At some point, stop the lone wolfing. Kings have king's councils. All great performers in the world have a team of advisors, of trainers, of coaches, of experts that support them at their beck and call to know what the solutions are, what the exercise is, what the perspective is. Advisors. Every great leader has advisors. So boys, lone wolf, kings have king's councils. I am unapologetically bringing it in here to your awareness. And I set this awareness to every single one of you. Take this on sincerely. Heroic Husbands training and community platform has an intake now. If you right now take 10 to 20 seconds off your life journey and just generate, like the chicken soup served cold always tastes like piss, generate 5, 10 seconds of kingly courage to go, screw it, let's do it. Let's jump in. Let's make it happen. Today, you access the link through the podcast notes. You can click in and you can have immediate access. This intake will be open for a week or two. You have immediate access today. So if any of these points you want support with, if you can feel any bit of sense of, yeah, man, lone wolfing, not having support, hey, it's a bit same shit, different day, or the it's moving the needle, but just not as much as I want. You can access a community that will wrap you up as one of her own. You will have men that will see you, will hear you, will make sure that your human experience is held safe and honored. But a bunch of men who are playing the infinite game of married life, the infinite game of parenting, the infinite game of finances, the infinite game of life, and are passionately committed to living this as a way of life. You will have those guys supporting you, weekly exercises designed. I have weekly exercises coming on now where they're the ones that my one-on-one clients get. I'm bringing that into the community. There's meditation support. There's circles where you can get on with other guys. There's King's coaching calls, direct access to high flame coaching with me. It's not like, hey, 12, 15 months in therapy does nothing. 12, 15 minutes with me in coaching, that's going to change your life. From blind spots into major growth opportunities. Guys, it's instantly accessible to every single one of you today. There are many, many, many of you who know deep down you would really fucking love to move the needle majorly on many areas, if not all areas of your married life, day-to-day experience. And first and foremost, to upgrade your inner world experience from stress and struggle and stagnation to peace and power and prosperity and presence and protection and progress in all levels, guys. It's the juice of life. If you're not experiencing radical progress in all areas of your life, man, you're not feeling alive. I would love to see you guys, and every member in there would love to see you in. Click in the link today. Now's the time. Best time to transform your marriage 5-10 years ago. Second best time is today. It is not next month. Next month, next year, that mightn't come. Divorce papers could take the wind out of your sails before then, or you might just slip into unhappily ever after and it might never get to that cliff edge, but you'll just wake up like those people in the hospice rooms around the world when asked, hey, what are your great regrets? Don't have it. I didn't take control of my entire marriage life experience. I didn't actually step up to the self-mastery journey and be looking back on a life of regret. Now's your moment, guys. Now is the moment. In perfect alignment with the mantra of this amazing movement that you're all a sacred part of. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.